It was not natural. In fact, the whole thing stank of Skaven sorcery, and Felix wondered if there was some evil purpose to it. The city of Nuln appeared to be under a curse, Felix thought. The air smelled of sickness and disease, and human flesh burned on great pyres in the square outside the Temple of Mor. Whole tenement buildings had been boarded up and turned into tombs. Felix shuddered when he thought of the mouldering corpses of the dead within them. Even worse, though, were the thoughts of those who had been entrapped there alive, victims of the plague who no one wanted to help. There were hideous rumours circulating of people recovering from the plague, only to die of starvation. There were worse tales of cannibalism and folk feasting on flesh from the corpses of their family and friends. It was a horrifying thought, and it made Felix think that Sigmar and Ulric had turned their gaze from this city. Ahead of him he heard the rumble of wheels and the tolling of a bell. He stepped aside to let the plague cart pass. The driver was garbed all in black, and his face was hidden by a skull mask and a great peaked cowl. On the back of the cart, an acolyte of Mor's swung a censer of incense, presumably to protect him from the plague. It was like watching Death himself ride through the doomed city, accompanied by his servants. Felix could see the rotting corpses piled high on the backboard of the vehicle. The bodies were naked, already stripped of their valuables by their families or bold scavengers. Rats gnawed at the bodies. As Felix watched, he saw one tear out an eyeball and devour it whole. The plague carts moved constantly through the streets, bells tolling to announce their presence, summoning those still strong and healthy to dispose of the bodies of those who were not. But not even the plague carts were safe. If they stopped for a moment, the rats were upon them, fighting each other to feast upon the corpses. Felix's belly grumbled, and he pulled his belt a notch tighter. He hoped the others were having more luck in their foraging for food than he was. He had found nothing to eat on sale that had not been contaminated by rat droppings, and even that was being sold for 10 times its normal price. Some citizens were getting rich from the ruination of this mighty city. There were always those, he thought, who could find profit in even the most dire of situations. He wished that Gotrek would give up his mad desire to remain in the city. He'd already considered slipping away himself, joining those hosts of the poor and the lowly who had snatched up their few possessions and departed. He had not done so for several reasons. The first and best of them was that he would not desert his friends. The second was a desire to see this thing through to its end. He suspected that soon the dire events would reach their climax, and at least part of him wanted to find out what would happen. The final reason was simple. He had heard tales that the local nobles had quarantined the city, and that archers were shooting those who tried to depart by the public highways. Many of the barges, which had set sail from the docks in the past 2 desperate weeks, had returned, reporting imperial naval ships on the river sinking any vessel which tried to pass them. Perhaps a small band moving by night could slip through, but Felix did not want to try it without Gotrek. The lawless lands around the city would be even more dangerous now with all the local soldiers and road wardens enforcing the quarantine and bands of armed men robbing any refugees. Law and order had already broken down in parts of the city inside the walls. By night, gangs of looters roamed the streets searching for food, helping themselves to anything that wasn't guarded by armed men. Only 2 nights ago, a mob had broken into the city granary, despite the presence of several hundred soldiers. They had broken down the gates, only to discover that the place was empty, filled only with the skeletons of the rats which had gorged themselves on the grain and then died. A group of feral children was watching him with hungry eyes. One of them was roasting a dead rat on a spit. Normally he would have tossed them a coin out of pity, but twice in the past few days he had almost been assaulted by such gangs. They had only turned back discouraged when he had drawn his sword and whipped it through the air menacingly. He remembered the words of Count Ostwald. The city was indeed under siege, but it was a siege of a most horrifying type. There were no siege towers, no weapons had been brought to bear except hunger and disease. There was no enemy which could be sought out and battled. Despair was the foe here, and there was no sword with which it could be fought. Ahead of him lay the blind pig. Outside it lolled several men-at-arms, mercenaries who had billeted themselves in the inn because they knew it and its owner, and stuck there now in a mass for their own protection. Felix knew them all, and they knew him, but even so they watched him warily as he came closer. They were hard men who had decided that since they could not outrun the plague, they might as well be comfortable while they waited for it to strike them down. The Elector Countess was offering double pay to those who helped keep the peace by reinforcing her guards and the sadly depleted city watch. These men were earning their extra pay.
"Any news?" one of them asked.
A burly Kislevite giant, known as Big Boris. Felix shook his head.
"Any food?"
asked the other. A sour-faced Bretonian everyone called Hungry Stefan. Felix shook his head again and stepped past them into the inn. Heinz sat at the table beside the fire, warming his hands. Gotrek sat with him, glugging back an enormous stein of ale.
"Looks like it will be rat pie for supper again," Heinz said.
Felix was not quite sure if he was making a joke.
"Young Felix has come back empty-handed."
"At least you still have beer," Felix said.
"If it were dwarf ale, we could live on it and nothing else,"
Gotrek said.
"Many a campaign I've fought with nothing in my belly, save for half a barrel of Bugman's."
"Unfortunately, it's not Bugman's," Felix said dryly. Since the food shortages began, the dwarf had taken to reminiscing constantly, and in a most annoying manner, about the nutrient powers of dwarf ale.
"More Skaven have been seen,"
Heinz said.
"And the city guard clashed with them in the Middenplatz last night. And they seem to be foraging for food as well, or so the guard claimed."
"Most likely want to make sure we're starving," Felix said sourly.
"Whatever's going to happen is going to happen soon," Gotrek said. "There's something in the air. I can smell it."
"It's beer you smell," Felix said.
"Well, your Countess Emmanuel is throwing a big fancy dress ball,"
Heinz said with a grin.
"Maybe you'll be invited."
"Somehow I doubt it," Felix said. He had not heard from the palace since he had been summoned by Ostwald 2 weeks ago to explain the burning of the Black Ship. Of course, since then, all those mansions on the hill had become fortified camps, as the rich and the blue-blooded isolated themselves in an effort to escape the plague. Rumour had it that any commoner even setting foot on those cobbled streets was shot on sight.
"Typical of your bloody human nobles,"
Gotrek said, and belched.
"The city's gone to the dogs, and what do? Throw a bloody party." "Maybe we should do the same,"
Heinz said.
"There are worse ways to go."
"Anybody seen Alyssa?" Felix asked, wanting to change the gloomy direction this conversation was taking.
"Well, she left earlier. Went for a walk with that peasant lad. Hans, is it?"
Suddenly, Felix wished he hadn't asked. Lurk Snitchtongue glanced around the gloomy chamber and controlled the urge to squirt the musk of fear. It took a mighty effort, for he could never in all his life recall being cornered by three such fearsome Skaven. He stifled a cough and fought to hold back a sneeze in case either would draw attention to him, but it was no use. Those three sets of malevolent eyes were drawn to his shivering form like iron filings to a magnet. Vilebroth Null, Isaac Grottle and Heskett One-Eye all stared at him as if he were a tasty morsel, particularly Isaac Grottle. Lurk wished his body would stop aching. He wished his paws would stop sweating. He wished the pain that threatened to split his skull would go away. He knew that they would not. He knew that he had the plague, and he knew that he was going to die, unless Vilebroth Null did as he had promised and interceded for him with the horned rat. Truly, Lurk thought, he was caught with his tail between the cleaver and the chopping block. The only way he could save his life was by doing what the terrifying plague monk leader said. Unfortunately, Vilebroth Null wanted him to betray his master, Grey Seer Thankwell. Lurk shuddered to think of the consequences should that formidable sorcerer find out what had happened. The wrath of Thankwell was not something any sane Skaven cared to face. The three Skaven put their heads together once more and started to whisper. Lurk would have given anything to know what they were talking about. On second thoughts, considering they were probably discussing his fate, he might conceivably be able to live without the knowledge. Lurk cursed his own weakness. He had known he was in trouble when he saw who had been waiting in the chamber that Null had led him to. He knew then, all too well, that the weeks of negotiations the abbot had alluded to had paid off, and two of the most powerful factions of Skavendom were arrayed alongside Clan Pestilence. In that secret chamber, far from eavesdroppers and shielded by Null's potent sorcery, Hesket One-Eye and Isaac Grottle had been waiting. As soon as he saw them, Lurk had known the game was up. Under Null's prodding, he had told them everything. He had explained that Thankwell had somehow learned of their schemes, leaving out only his part in their discovery, and he had told them, too, of the messages Thankwell had sent to their arch-enemies, the human Jaeger and the dwarf Gurnison. It went without saying that these lordly Skaven were outraged by what they saw as the Grey Seer's despicable treachery. He had sensed their murderous rage in the air, and done everything in his power to avoid being the focus of it. He had heard all about the gory details of Clan Scryer's excruciation engines, and many times he had shuddered at the tale of how Grottle liked to consume his enemies' entrails before their very eyes, while they still lived. In order to avoid this fate, he had racked his mind for every little detail he could remember to convince them that he was cooperating thoroughly. The prospect of immediate painful death overcame any reluctance caused by the thought of what Grey Seer Thankwell might do to him in the future. And in one small, cunning and deeply hidden part of Lurk's mind, it occurred to him that if these three could be made angry enough to take vengeance on Grey Seer Thankwell, then Thankwell would be too dead to take any revenge on him in turn. He was pretty sure now that he had succeeded. Hesket One-Eye had gnawed his own tail in rage, as Lurk explained how the Grey Seer had sent explicit details to their enemies concerning Clan Scryer's plan to invade the College of Engineering. He had even fabricated a few convincing details of how the Grey Seer had laughed and gloated about how his stupid enemies would soon fall into his trap. Well, thought Lurk, Thankwell most likely had. Isaac Grottle had become so outraged he even spluttered out a mouthful of food when Lurk explained how Thankwell had told him that the fat fool would never suspect his idiotic plan to smuggle a secret weapon into the city on a converted barge would be betrayed by Thankwell's cunning. Vilebroth Null called down the curse of the horned rat on his rival when Lurk told him how Thankwell, jealous of the favour their god had shown the abbot, decided to remove a dangerous rival by revealing the whereabouts of his secret lair in the human cemetery to his two most trusty agents on the surface, Gurnison and Jaeger.
Are you certain the Grey Seer is in league with those two?
Grottle demanded.
Absolutely, definitely certain.
Of course, mightiest of moulders. He forced me on pain of hideous death to deliver notes to them, and they always responded to his instructions, did they not? I can only conclude that either they are in Grey Seer Thankwell's pay, or...
What?
Vilebroth Null burbled.
No, the thought is too hideous. No true Skaven would stoop to...
Stoop to what? To what?
Oh, he is in their pay,
Lurk said, amazed by his own powers of invention. This set off another burst of outraged chittering.
No, impossible,
Hesket One-Eye said.
Thankwell is a Grey Seer. He would never submit to taking orders from any but another Skaven. The thought is ludicrous.
And yet,
Vilebroth Null said.
And yet,
Isaac Grottle said.
And yet it is indisputable that Grey Seer Thankwell had been in touch with the surface dwellers and had betrayed our plans to them,
Null said.
How else could they have got wind of our schemes? How else could such magnificently cunning plans have failed? Are you seriously suggesting that Grey Seer Thankwell is a traitor to the Skaven cause? Seriously?
Isaac Grottle asked, showing his terrifyingly huge fangs in a great snarl.
It's possible,
Lurk dared to add.
All too possible, I fear,
Heskip One-Eye said.
It is the only explanation for why the Grey Seer would interfere with our mighty machinations, when all we were attempting to do was further the Skaven cause.
And yet, the human and the dwarf are his enemies too. By all accounts, they almost killed him in the lair of the human von Hallstatt.
And he sends the gutter runners against them.
Filebroth Null added.
That was a true contract. Chang Squick still spits when he thinks of his failure.
What did the Grey Seer think while he's cunning enough to use his enemies against us?
Heskip One-Eye said excitedly.
He pits them against us. He cannot lose. He thwarts a rival, or we kill his sworn enemies for him.
There was a moment of silence in the chamber, and Lurk knew that whatever else his enemies thought of the Grey Seer, they had suddenly gained enormous respect for his cunning. On consideration, he had to admit that he had too. Whatever flaws he might possess, it was hard to dispute that Grey Seer Thankwell was possessed of all the qualities of a truly great Skaven.
Even so, even allowing that Grey Seer Thankwell possesses devilish cunning, he has still betrayed us to the enemy. That is beyond dispute. He has revealed our hidden plans, and the hidden plans of our great clans to the enemy,
Isaac Ruttle said.
Grey Seer Thankwell, he's a traitor, and an enemy of all our peoples.
I agree,
Heskett said.
A traitor he most certainly is, and more. He is our personal enemy. He has acted against us all once and almost caused our deaths. Perhaps he will be more successful with his next attempt.
All three of them shivered when they thought of the demonically clever intelligence which worked against them. Lurk could see the fear written on their faces and in the nervous twitching of their whiskers.
I humbly suggest,
Null said,
that it might be the will of the Horned Rat that we remove Grey Seer Thankwell from his command of the army and send him to make his explanations to the Council of 13.
I heartily agree with your sentiments, heartily,
Isaac Grottle said.
But how are we to accomplish this? The traitor remains in command of almost 5,000 Clan Scab warriors, while our own forces are but a shadow of what they once were.
Doubtless, as the traitor planned,
Heskett said.
Doubtless,
the other two agreed simultaneously.
There is always assassination,
Heskett suggested.
Possibly, Grottle said. But who would take the chance that the Eshin might be deluded enough to report the request for such a thing to the traitor himself?
Well, we could do it ourselves,
Vilebroth Null said.
Grey Seer Thankwell, despite his known treachery, he's a lamentably powerful sorcerer,
Heskett One-Eye said.
We might fail, and we might die.
All three shuddered, and then, as one, all three pairs of eyes turned on Lurk. He quivered to the soles of his paws, for he knew what they were thinking.
No, no,
he said.
No,
Heskett One-Eye said menacingly, reaching for the butt of his pistol.
No,
Isaac Grottle rumbled hungrily and licked his lips.
No,
Vilebroth Null said, hawking a huge lump of green phlegm onto the floor beside Lurk's feet, where it bubbled corruptly.
No, no, most merciful of masters. I am but a lowly Skaven. I possess not your mighty intellects and awesome powers. Any of you might expect to best Grey Seer Thankwell in combat or cunning, but not I.
Then why should we preserve your life?
Isaac Grottle said silkily.
Why? Speak! Quick, quick! I'm hungry!
Because...
Lurk floundered around frantically, seeking a path out of this hideous maze. He cursed the day he had ever encountered Grey Seer Thankwell, or bore his messages to the human and the dwarf. Wait. That might be the answer. Perhaps in the Grey Seer's own great example was the solution to his problem.
Because there is a better way.
Is there?
Yes, yes.
One that holds fewer risks and is more certain.
You interest me, Lurk Snitchtongue,
Isaac Grottle said.
What is there that you can see that we cannot?
Yes, yes, go on, explain.
Vilebroth Null said in his hideous, bubbling voice.
You could use the Grey Seer's own methods against him.
What?
He has used Jaeger and Gurnison against you. Why not use them against him?
There was another pause while the three Great Skaven exchanged glances.
They are certainly formidable,
Vilebroth Null said.
For non-Skaven.
Perhaps they could do it,
chittered Heskett One Eye.
Do you think so? They are not Skaven, and Thankwall is a Grey Seer. A Grey Seer!
Isaac Grottle said, and banged his fist on the table for emphasis.
In every humble respect,
Vilebroth Null said,
you have not encountered this pair. Heskett is Scry, and I have a more wicked and dangerous set of opponents. It is hard to imagine. Even I, with all my magical powers, barely eluded them.
They slaughtered well over half my company,
Heskett said, leaving out his own part in the massacre.
I defer to your greater experience, Grottle said. But the question remains, how will we get them to go after Grey Seer Thankwall?
Nature,
Lurk suggested, carried away by the sheer pleasure of plotting.
Yes, yes, a letter,
Vilebroth Null said.
It is fitting that Grey Seer Thankwall should be undone by the device by which he sought to undo us.
But where and how will our two assassins get their chance at him?
They must wait for the opportunity to arise,
Null said.
And how will we write this letter?
Grottle asked.
I, for one, have no knowledge of these primitive human runes.
I have some knowledge of the human script,
Heskett One Eye said, almost apologetically.
I need it for reading human schematics.
We must use the exact paper and pen that the Grey Seer uses,
Grottle said.
Our friend Lurk can acquire those,
Vilebroth Null said, smiling horribly to reveal rotting teeth.
He can deliver the message, too, in his usual way,
Heskett said smugly.
It appears that I won't be eating you today, then, Lurk Snitch Tongue,
Isaac Grottle said.
We need you alive. Of course, should you attempt to betray us...
That will change,
Heskett finished. Lurk did not know whether to be glad or sorry. He appeared to have prolonged his life, but only at the risk of incurring Grey Seer Thankwall's wrath. How did he get himself into these things?
We're leaving the city,
Elissa said challengingly. She glared up at Felix as if expecting him to contradict her.
Hans and I, we've decided to go.
I don't blame you, Felix said. It's a bad place to be, and it's going to get worse.
Is that all you have to say?
Felix looked around at the room they had shared during their brief time together. It seemed small and empty, and soon it would seem emptier still once she had gone. Was there anything more to say? He really could not blame her for wanting to leave, and to be honest, he could see no real future for them together. So why did it still hurt? Why did he have this feeling of hollowness within his chest? Why did he feel this urge to ask her to stay? You're going with Hans? He asked, just to hear some words. She looked at him coldly and crossed her arms together under her breasts defensively.
Yes,
she said.
You're not going to try and stop us, are you?
She seemed almost to want him to say yes, he thought. Well, it's not very safe outside the city right now, he said.
We're only going back to our village. It's less than a morning's walk.
Will they take you? I hear that people from the city are being stoned and shot with arrows if they go near villages and farms, in case they have the plague.
We'll survive,
she said, but she sounded less sure of herself.
Anyway, it can't be worse than it is here, with the plague and the gangs and the rats and all. At least back in the village they know us.
Well, they certainly know Hans. I thought you said the elders hated him.
You would cast that up, wouldn't you? They'll take us back. I'll tell them that we're going to be married. They'll understand.
What are you? Going to be married, I mean.
I suppose so.
You don't sound very enthusiastic.
Oh, Felix, what else am I supposed to do? Spend the rest of my life being pawed by strangers in bars? Going about with footloose mercenaries? It's not what I want. I want to go home.
You need any money? He asked. Suddenly she looked a little shifty.
No,
she said.
I'd best be going. Hans is waiting.
Be careful, he said, and meant it. It's not a safe city out there.
You should know,
she said. Suddenly she leaned forward and kissed him passionately on the mouth. Just as he was about to take her in his arms, she broke free and made for the door.
You look after yourself now,
she said. And he thought he detected a glimmer of tears in the corner of her eyes. Then she was gone. It was only afterwards, when he checked the loose floorboard, that he discovered the purse of money Otto had given him was gone. He lay on the bed, unsure whether to laugh or to cry. Well, he thought, let her have the money. The chances were he would not live long enough to spend it himself. Gracia Thankwell glanced around the chamber at the assembled Skaven captains. His burning gaze seemed to defy anyone to speak out. No one did. Lurk counted the commanders present. All of the clan scab leaders were here, plus Isaac Grottle, Vilebroth Null, and Heskett One-Eye. Chang Squick, the clan Eshin assassin, skulked in one corner, glaring occasionally at Lurk with hate-filled eyes. He had not forgotten what Lurk had said about him on that long-ago day when the Grey Seer had humiliated them both in front of the whole army. The Grey Seer threw his arms wide. Trails of fire followed his paws as he gathered magical power. That got everyone in the room's attention, Lurk thought. Suddenly all eyes were riveted on Thankwell, as if with a single gesture he might choose to annihilate anyone who did not look at him. That was certainly a possibility, Lurk thought. If he recognised the signs correctly, the Grey Seer had consumed an awful lot of warpstone powder. Lurk shivered and continued to chew on the foul herbs that Vilebroth Null had given him to abate the plague. He fought down the urge to check within his breastplate and make sure the parchment and quill he had stolen from Thankwell's private stock were not sliding into view. He knew that nothing would draw attention to him quicker. He reassured himself that they were there. He could feel the nib of the pen poking into the tender fur beneath his armpit.
Tonight is the night you have all been waiting for,
Thankwell said.
Tonight we will smash crash the humans once and for all. Tonight we will invade the city and enslave all the occupants. Tonight we will strike a blow for the Under Empire and the Skaven Nation. They will long be remembered.
Thankwell paused impressively and glanced around the room once more, as if waiting for an interruption. No one dared to speak, but Lurk saw Null, One-Eye, and Grottle exchange glances before looking at him. He hoped for all their sakes that the Grey Seer had not noticed. He glanced nervously at Thankwell, but fortunately the Grey Seer seemed to be caught up in the flow of his own mad eloquence.
We will grind the humans beneath the iron paw of our massed Skaven army. We will carry them off into inevitable slavery. Their wealth will be ours. Their city will be ours. Their souls will be offered screaming to the horned rat.
Thankwell paused once more, and Isaac Grottle found the courage to ask the question that Lurk could tell had been on everyone's mind.
And how is this to be accomplished, great leader?
How? How indeed? By a plan at once simple and yet staggeringly cunning. By a use of force and sorcery, which will be talked about down the ages. By overwhelming ferocity and superior Skaven technology. By what precise means, Grace of Thankwell?
Vilebroth Null interrupted.
I humbly suggest that, like every Skaven out of Runthood, we are all familiar with the general methods of attack.
For a moment, Lurk could tell that Thankwell was weighing up the pros and cons of blasting the plague monk into his component atoms for his insolence. He was glad when prudent Skaven caution won out, and the Grey Seer continued to speak.
I was just coming to that. As you would have discovered had you not interrupted me, we will attack through the sewers. Each of you will lead your assigned force to a point marked on the map.
With this, the Grey Seer indicated the complex mass of symbols inscribed on the large sheet of parchment hanging behind him. Many of the assembled leaders leaned forward to see where they would be sent.
I do not see your rune on this plan,
Heskett One-Eye said.
What will you be doing, Grey Seer?
Thankwell glared at him with burning red eyes.
I will be where you would expect your leader to be, performing the most difficult and dangerous of tasks.
Silence fell over the assembled Skaven leaders. This was not, in point of fact, where they would have expected their leader to be at all. They would expect him to be safely in the rear, directing operations. The warp stone Thankwell had consumed appeared to make him talkative. He spoke on into the silence.
I will be leading the crowning attack. I will lead the assault by our storm vermin, which will seize the palace of the breeder Emmanuel and capture all of the city's rulers. Tonight, they are having a ball, one of their purposeless social events. I will fall on them by surprise and have them all in my paw. Leaderless, the humans will surely fall to our attack.
There were more murmurings from the assembled Skaven. It was a good plan, and a bold one. Lurk wondered if any of the others saw what he saw. The Grey Seer had chosen his place in the assault carefully. By managing this bold stroke, by capturing the human leaders, he would assure himself of the lion's share of the glory. Further, he would undoubtedly be a lot safer attacking a bunch of humans and their breeders dressed for a ball than fighting massed troops in the city.
Such a position is too dangerous for a leader of your great cunning,
Heskett One-Eye said.
It would be a tragedy if the genius of Thankwell was to be lost to Skavendom. To prevent such a tragedy, I will lead this assault. I will shoulder the terrible risks.
Blurk covered his mouth with a paw to prevent a snigger escaping. At least one other Skaven had realised what was going on.
No, Isaac Grottle said. I and my rat ogres are ideally suited for this task. We will overwhelm all...
Grottle's words were drowned out by the shouts of all the other Skaven volunteers. Thankwell let them call out for a few minutes before silencing them with a gesture.
Unfortunately, it will require my potent sorcery to effect entrance to the palace. I must be present.
Then I will gladly lay down my life to guard you,
Isaac Grottle said, obviously determined to be present to share in the triumph.
And I,
Heskett One-Eye said.
And I,
shouted every other Skaven present, save Lurk.
No. I appreciate your concern, Brother Skaven, but your leadership will be required on other, no less critical parts of the battlefield.
It was obvious that Thankwell intended to share his glorious triumph with no one. The assembled war leaders subsided into disappointed chittering.
I have here a route map and a schedule for each of you, inscribed with precise instructions. All of you, that is, except for Lurk Snitchtongue. I would have a word with Lurk in private.
Lurk felt his heart start to race, and it was all he could do to prevent himself squirting the musk of fear. Had the Grey Seer found out about his plotting with the three clan representatives? Was he about to enact some terrible revenge? Was there any way Lurk could avoid this meeting? He turned desperate eyes on his three co-conspirators and saw that they glared at him evilly. If looks could kill, Lurk knew, those three would have put him in a coffin. They feared he would betray them to save his own skin. And of course they were right. As the war leaders trooped forward one by one to receive the Grey Seer's blessing and their final instructions, Lurk prayed to the horned rat to preserve him. Felix wandered around until he arrived at his brother's townhouse. He was not surprised to see that it was locked and guarded. He was surprised to find that Otto and his wife had not fled the city, and furthermore, that the guards recognised him and allowed him to pass. Otto waited in his study to greet him. He was still working, inscribing things in his ledgers and writing dispatches that might never be received, intended for other branches of the Jaeger businesses. Felix was strangely proud of him at that moment. It took a great deal of courage to continue to work under these trying circumstances.
What can I do for you, Felix? Otto asked without looking up.
Nothing. I just came by to see how you were.
Fine.
Otto gave a wan smile.
Business is booming.
Is it?
Of course not. Rats are eating the stock. The workers are stealing everything that isn't nailed down. The customers are dying of the plague.
Why haven't you left town?
Someone has to remain and look after our interests. This will all pass, you know. Disturbances always do. Then there'll be the business of rebuilding. Folk will need wool and timber and building materials. They'll need luxury goods to replace what's been looted. They'll need credit to buy it all. And when they do, Jaegers of Altdorf will still be here.
I'll bet you will.
And what about you?
Otto asked, looking up at last.
I'm waiting to see the end of all this.
I'm waiting for the Skaven to show themselves.
You think they will?
I'm sure of it. I'm certain that this is all they're doing somehow.
How can you be so sure?
Felix looked at his brother long and hard.
Can you keep secrets?
You know I can.
Felix decided that it was true. In his business, Otto would need a great deal of discretion.
What I'm going to tell you could get me hanged or burned at the stake.
What you and the dwarf did in Altdorf could get you that already. You're a long way from the capital, Felix, and I'm not going to turn you in.
Felix guessed that was true, and somehow he felt a need to tell someone exactly what had happened. So he told Otto the full tale of his encounters with the Skaven, from the first day in the sewer to the last battle on the barge. He omitted nothing, including his duel with von Hallstatt. Otto looked at him with an expression that went from incredulity to seriousness to finally belief.
You're not making this up, are you?
No.
You always did take those hero tales you read too seriously, little brother.
Felix smiled, and Otto smiled back.
I did, didn't I?
What is it like, living in one?
Not what I expected. Not what I expected at all.
Felix decided it was time to say what he had come to say.
Otto, I think you and your wife should leave the city. I think the Skaven are going to come soon, and that things will not be pleasant.
Otto laughed.
We have armed servants, and this house is a fortress, Felix. We will be much safer here than in the country.
Felix knew his brother well enough to understand that there would be no persuading him.
You know your own business best, he said.
Otto nodded.
Now come eat, man. I can hear your stomach rumbling from here.
What is it, mightiest of mages? What do you require?
Lurk Snitchtongue bowed and scraped before Grey Seer Thankful, searching for the words that would save him. He felt sure that the Grey Seer's supernatural powers had enabled him to see Lurk's treachery, and that now he was going to be punished. The terrible glow of warpstone still filled Thankwall's eyes, and Lurk could almost sense the dark energies that seethed within him.
It concerns Vilebroth Null,
Grey Seer Thankwall said with an evil smile. Lurk felt his musk glands contract. He would have spoken then, but his tongue was tied. It felt like it had suddenly stuck to the roof of his mouth. All he could do was nod his head in a guilty fashion.
And Heskit One Eye,
Thankwall said, his malevolent grin stretching still further. A plea for mercy stuck in Lurk's throat. He tried to force it out, but it just would not come.
And Isaac Grottle,
Thankwall added. His burning eyes held Lurk pinned to the spot. The smaller Skaven felt like a bird, paralysed before the gaze of a serpent. He nodded again and fell to his knees, paws clutched before him in a gesture of abasement.
Get up,
Thankwall said.
They're not so fearsome, no. Not at all. Now is the time to be rid of them once and for all, and you will help me do it.
Get rid of them, mightiest of masters.
Yes. Did you see the way they questioned me when I was giving orders to the army? Did you see the way they tried to steal the glory from my brilliant plan? My mind is made up. I will tolerate them no longer. This night they will die. How, Lord of Seers? Will you blast them with magic? No, idiot. My hands must remain clean. No. We will use the tried and tested method. I will inform my two pawns of their whereabouts. This evening when the battle comes, my enemies will meet with the dwarf's axe. Then, hopefully, the rest of their force will bring down that interfering twosome.
How will you engineer this, cleverest of conspirators?
I have assigned all three to one strike group. Its place of emergence is very close to the burrow where Jaeger and Gurnison and a horde of mercenaries dwell. You are also assigned to that group. You will go through first on pretext of scouting, and you will warn that horrid pair of what is about to occur. Oh, yes, yes. Consider it done, most supreme of schemers. Take this message and see that it is delivered. Then flee to my presence, and I will see that you are suitably rewarded for your loyalty.
Lurk did not like the emphasis the Grey Seer put on that last phrase at all, but he took the letter and, still bowing, backed from Thankwell's presence. Felix rang Drexler's doorbell, more from hope than any real belief that the doctor would be there, so he was pleasantly surprised when the viewing slot was opened and a servant peered out.
"Oh, is you, Herr Jaeger?"
he said.
"Are you alone?"
"Yes, and I would speak with your master."
"Best come in, then."
Felix heard bolts being thrown and the door creak open. He glanced back over his shoulder to make sure that no bandits were poised to take advantage of the situation, then hurried through. The servant slammed the door behind him. Felix strode through the corridors of the doctor's mansion. It felt like years since he had first come here with Alyssa, though in fact it had only been weeks. How had things changed so quickly, he asked himself, suppressing a flash of loneliness and sadness at the thought the woman was gone. He shook his head and smiled sadly, knowing that her departure was one of the reasons why he was here. He was just moving around to keep himself busy and avoid thinking about things. The servant showed him into Drexler's study. The doctor sat by his fire, looking drained and weary. Weeks of treating plague victims had obviously taken something out of him. There were lines on his face that had not been there when Felix had last seen him, and a hint of pallor beneath his tan.
"Herr Jaeger, what can I do for you?"
"I've brought back your book," Felix said, producing the doctor's copy of Lieber's work. "I would have returned it sooner, but I've been very busy." The doctor smiled wanly.
"So, Herr Ostwald has told me. It seems Aldred chose a worthy successor for ownership of his blade."
"I'm not so convinced," Felix said, gesturing vaguely in the direction of the city. "All of my and Gotrek's efforts seem to have come to naught."
"And do not be sure of that, Herr Jaeger. What man can tell of all the consequences of his actions? It may be that things would be a lot worse without your intervention."
"I wish I could believe that, but I do not think it is so."
"Only Sigmar can judge a man's actions, Herr Jaeger. And I believe that in some ways he smiles upon you and your friend. You are still here, aren't you? How many others would be able to say the same if they had undergone your adventures? I know I could not."
Felix looked at him, struck by the fact that there was some truth in the man's words. "You're a good doctor, Herr Drexler. I feel better just talking to you."
"Perhaps you should wait until you see my bill before you thank me," Drexler said.
His smile showed that he was joking.
"You found what you wanted in the book?"
Felix set it down on the table. "More than I ever wanted. I'm not sure that it helps, knowing how evil and depraved the Ratmen are."
"Again, Herr Jaeger, who knows what knowledge might prove useful? I have some food. I have managed to preserve something from the afflictions of our city."
Felix thought guiltily of the meal which he had already eaten at Otto's. His stomach felt full, but, well, on the other hand, he had no idea when he might eat again. If Gotrek's theory about the Skaven's imminent onslaught was going to be correct, he was going to need all his strength. "Why not?" he said. "It may be the last meal I get."
"Why do you say that?"
Drexler asked. And Felix decided that now was the time to deliver his warning. "Because I believe that the Skaven will attack the city soon. I also think that you should leave. I say this as a friend."
"I thank you for the warning, Herr Jaeger. But I cannot go today. You see, tonight I am attending a ball at the palace in the presence of Elector Countess Emmanuel herself."
Somehow the thought sent a shiver running down Felix's spine. Lurk knew it was going to be bad when he felt the heavy hand of one of Isaac Grottle's troops on his shoulder, and he was hustled unceremoniously into the fat Skaven's palanquin. He found himself looking up into the folds of flesh beneath the chin of the gigantic Moulder packmaster. Grottle's huge belly virtually pressed him back against the cushions of the palanquin with a life of its own.
"Now, where are you going?"
Isaac Grottle asked.
"Where indeed?"
Lurk thought fast. He did not like the hungry gleam that had appeared in the packmaster's eye. He thought of the letter that he bore for the Grey Seer. He thought of the disease that threatened to fill his lungs with pus, unless the abbot continued to intervene on his behalf with the horned rat.
"I was just on my way to see you, most majestic of moulders." "Then it is fortunate I have found you. Tell me, what is it that you are carrying?"
Lurk told him everything. He'd expected Isaac Grottle to reach out with one podgy hand and snap his neck. But the packmaster merely laughed a rich, booming laugh.
"It would appear the Grey Seer has been too clever for his own good. You will deliver your message, but it will be one I shall dictate, and Hesket One Eye shall write down." "As you wish, most potent of all packmasters."
Felix trudged back towards the blind pig, feeling almost too full to move. Over the past few weeks his stomach had shrunk, and what once might have been a normal meal now left him feeling bloated. Two such meals in one day made him feel like he was going to explode. He wore a new herbal talisman, given to him by the doctor, and he carried another within his pouch for Gotrek. It was a slight reassurance to him. So far, he had not caught the plague. But that might not signify anything. Nobody else he knew had either. Perhaps it was mere chance that had spared them, or perhaps it was the fact that Hines insisted they kill every last rat they spotted around the pig. Felix could not even begin to guess. He only knew that he was grateful to Drexler for the gift. He looked around into the gathering gloom and shivered. The city looked like a mere ghost of the thriving metropolis it had been when he and Gotrek first arrived. Many buildings had burned down. More were empty. No lights shone in most of the tenements. The bustling life of the streets had been replaced by an aura of fear. The only ones likely to be abroad now were predators and their victims. He felt the flesh crawl between his shoulder blades and was suddenly convinced that someone was watching him. He turned his head to look at the mouth of a nearby alley. The whoosh of air alerted him too late. Something hit him on the skull. He shook his head in response, half expecting a surge of pain. None came. He raised his fingers to his brow, but felt no blood. He looked down to see what had hit him, and saw that it was a rolled-up piece of parchment, similar to all the others which had borne a warning concerning the Skaven. He bent down to pick it up and glanced round at the same time. He heard the sound of scuttling down a nearby alley and realized that it was most likely whoever had thrown the paper. Without thinking, Felix scooped up the parchment and raced off in pursuit. He stretched his long legs to the maximum as he ran down the alley. Ahead of him, he thought he caught sight of a cowled figure. Was it possible that that was a long, rodent-like tail protruding out from under that monkish robe? All too possible, he decided. The figure had reached the end of the alley and turned hastily down another of the winding maze of streets. Felix raced past open doorways, scattering amazed-looking beggars and treading monstrous rats underfoot as he raced onwards. His heartbeat sounded loud in his chest, and sweat poured down his face. He felt nauseous and wished that he had not eaten quite so much at Dr. Drexler's, particularly after the heavy meal at his brother's. He clutched the scroll tight in one hand and restrained the scabbard flapping on his belt with the other. "Stop, Skaven!" he shouted. His words had no effect on the fleeing ratman. All the beggars leapt for cover within the nearest door. Felix raced on. "Why am I doing this?" he asked himself. As far as he knew, the Skaven ahead had done them nothing but favours by warning him of his brethren's plans. In that case, why was he fleeing? Felix asked himself. But he already had an answer. Who could tell why the ratmen did anything? Who could guess at the reasons of a creature that was not even human? Felix's heart leapt as he saw the ratman trip and fall. Perhaps he could overhaul it after all. Caught up in the fury of the chase, he desperately wanted to do so. He wanted to grab the rat man and look into its eyes and question it. Not, he thought, that it would likely understand the human tongue. According to Lieber, the rat men had their own languages, including a number of specialized dialects used by the various clans. Still, at least this one knew enough Reichspiel to write its notes, Felix thought, so perhaps it could be interrogated. He ran faster, hope blazing in his breast that at last he might be able to get some answers to his questions about the Skaven. Lurk glanced back over his shoulder and chittered a curse. It was no use. That foolish human was still following him. Why? What did it hope to achieve by persecuting him in this way? Why could it not leave him alone and read the message that Heskett One-Eye had inscribed on the parchment? If it did that, it would surely realize that it had more urgent business this night, like heading to the palace and thwarting Greyseer Thankwell's plan. Life was so unfair, Lurk thought unhappily. Here he was, in poor health, browbeaten by some of the most ferocious Skaven who ever lived, about to make an enemy of one of the mightiest sorcerers of his race. His head hurt, his eyes burned with fever, his heart felt like it was going to give out from the strain of this race. His lungs felt like they were on fire. And where was he? Not in some comfortable burrow back in Skavenblight, but being pursued through the horribly open streets of this human city by a large and terrifying warrior. It was like some dreadful nightmare. The sheer unfairness of it all galled Lurk. What had he ever done to deserve this? He shot another backward glance and saw that his pursuer was starting to narrow the distance that separated them. Lurk prayed that night would come, or that mist would arise. He felt certain that in darkness and shadow he could lose the human. Or, if he could just reach the hidden entrance to the sewers where the bulk of the invasion force waited, he would find safety. He risked another look back, and cursed as he felt his feet go out from beneath him. He knew he should have looked where he was going. Felix closed the gap quickly as he saw the Skaven scrabble to its feet. He wondered briefly whether he should pause and draw his sword. He decided against it. He would lose ground again, and the Skaven did not appear to be armed. He could always produce his blade when he had the Ratman cornered. Breathing heavily, he ran on. "Praise the horned rat!" thought Lurk. Ahead of him he could see the opening into the sewers. He knew that he merely had to leap down it, and he would be safe in the comforting bosom of the Skaven army. Down there waited Vilebroth Null, Isaac Grottel, Heskett One-Eye, and all their soldiers. But as he gathered his legs beneath him in preparation for the mighty leap that would carry him to safety, he felt a powerful hand clamp onto his shoulder. Felix felt the Skaven stiffen as he grabbed it. He pulled hard, spinning it around, and almost let go as the wicked-looking creature glared up at him with hate-filled eyes. Of all the ratmen he had ever encountered, this was the most sly and nasty-looking. It was smaller and thinner than most, but had a wiry strength that made it difficult to hold. "Now," Felix panted, "tell me what you're doing here." A sudden pain flared in his left wrist as the ratman bit it. Overcome by shock, Felix let go. Lurk broke free from his tormentor's grip and dropped gratefully into the sewer. Breaking the surface, he looked around and saw that the Skaven assault force had already gathered. A horde of ratmen waited in attendance. He looked around and saw Isaac Grottel and the others waiting in the leader's position at the rear. A storm vermin claw leader looked down at Lurk as he pulled himself out of the filth and shook his fur clean.
"What is it?"
the claw leader asked.
"I am pursued,"
Lurk gasped without thinking. Before he could expand on his statement, the claw leader reacted, keen to grab some glory.
"Right!"
the Skaven shouted.
"Quick, quick! Charge!"
Felix inspected his bitten wrist. It did not look too bad, he thought. Then he glanced up in horror as he heard the first of the ratmen begin to swarm up the sewer access ladder. Only moments before, he had debated whether to pursue the escaping Skaven into the sewers. Now he saw that it would have been suicidal. Already the leering face and snapping jaws of a burly, black-armoured ratman had emerged into the gloom. Felix wasted no time. He launched a hefty kick that sent the furiously squeaking Skaven tumbling back down among his fellows, and then turned and ran. Moments later, a mass of furiously chittering Skaven warriors emerged into the alley. Somewhat ahead of schedule, the great invasion of Nuln had begun.
No! No!
Lurk squeaked as the tightly packed mass of Skaven warriors surged past him. The press of furry bodies pushed him back into the foul waters of the sewer. For a horrible moment, he felt like he was going to drown, but then he broke the surface once more, just in time to see the last of the storm vermin clambering with unrestrained fury into the light. Above him, the mad face of Vilebroth Nul leered down.
Did you deliver the message?
Burbled the low abbot of the plague monks.
Yes, yes,
Lurk chittered, thinking that now was possibly not the best time to tell Nul that the Skaven troops above were now doing their best to hunt down and kill the man to whom the message had been delivered. Felix could hear the shouts of his foul pursuers behind him, and the screams of the unfortunates who got in their way. A quick glance over his shoulder revealed that the Skaven were putting anyone in their path to the sword. The sight of it sickened Felix, but in a way he was also glad. Every little pause and hesitation enabled him to increase his lead over them. His wrist throbbed where the little Skaven had bitten it. He noticed that the scroll it had thrown at him was crumpled in his hand. Briefly he toyed with throwing it away. Instead, he thrust it inside his tunic and continued to sprint. At least he was not weighed down with heavy armour the way his pursuers were. The thought trickled slowly into his mind that the Skaven invasion must have started. The sight of so many heavily armed ratmen in the streets could only mean that they were ready to begin an all-out attack on the city, and that they had no fear of the defenders. Right now, Felix guessed, their confidence was justified. He could not see a single member of the city guard. Of course, most of them were probably up in the noble quarter around the palace, making sure all the guests at the Countess's party were safe. Felix slammed into a wall and rebounded again, turning quickly to hurtle down a connecting alley. This area of narrow lanes and alleys was a veritable maze, and he was not at all sure he was heading in the right direction. He could only move as quickly as possible and listen to the noise of his pursuers, praying that he did not blunder round in a complete circle and run right into them again. He searched his brain for a plan, but all he could come up with was to get back to the blind pig as quickly as possible and warn Gotrek and the others. At least there was a strong force of mercenaries and a potential rallying point for any human warriors. Now all he had to do was find a way out. His heart filled with fear, he continued to run. Lurk tried to keep himself right in the middle of the teeming mass of warriors. He had endured enough excitement for one evening and did not need any more. He focused his attention on keeping eyes at Grottle in sight. The Moulder Packmaster's bodyguard of huge rat ogres represented his best hope of protection in the coming conflict. Lurk seriously doubted that anyone would want to attack the huge creatures. So far, the assault appeared to be going well. The Skaven force in this area had met with little resistance. He could smell burning and the distinctive oil and naphtha smell of warp fire throwers. From the backwash of light off to the south, he realised that some of the Clan Scryer warp fire throwers were using their weapons on the buildings. Squinting through the shadows, Lurk could see jets of flame squirting out at the tenements. Fire licked and curled at the woodwork. Stone began to splinter and crack under the sheer heat generated by the awesome Skaven weapons. Lurk was not so certain that this was a good idea. He was not sure Grey Seer Thankwell would approve of such indiscriminate destruction of his future property. Of course, if the message Lurk had delivered achieved its goal, the Grey Seer would be in no position to voice his objections. He would be dead. Lurk wondered whether the human Jaeger had managed to escape. Part of him hoped not. He could still remember the wretched human's hand clamped on his shoulder, and the pain where the iron fingers had bit into his fur. There was no sign that he had been taken prisoner, nor any sign of his corpse. Not that that meant anything, Lurk thought. In these winding alleys, already crammed with Skaven victims, a body could be lying almost anywhere. Already the Skaven force had started to break up and fan out. Some of the warriors, meeting little resistance, had already begun looting and eating. Lurk was not sure that this was a good idea either. Surely things could not go so easily. Surely they would meet more resistance than this. Where were the accursed human warriors? His questions received no answers. All around, buildings were beginning to burn. Chang Squick clambered up the sheer face of the cliff leading to the palace of the human breeder Emmanuel. The line attached to his grapnel held firm. The heavy weight of the rune-encrusted seeing stone entrusted to him by Grey Seer Thankwell personally rested securely in the knapsack on his back. Chang Squick braced himself and scrabbled with the claws of his feet for purchase on the smooth stone of the cliff face. Things were going well. In a few more minutes, he would be in position with the stone placed within the halls of the palace, ready for whatever mighty magic the Grey Seer had planned. He would have played his part in the Skaven victory today, and gone some way towards mitigating the disgrace of his failure to kill the dwarf and his human henchmen. Hopefully, that painful memory was something which could be laid to rest before this night was over too. Suddenly below him in the distance, he heard the faint but distinct chittering of Skaven war cries, and the answering screams of their human victims. Twisting on the rope, he glanced back and saw the eerie glow of what could only be warp fire throwers being used in the distance. Surely the attack had not begun already. The fools were supposed to wait until he was within the palace, and Greyseer Thankwall's plan had been implemented. He cursed and redoubled his efforts to climb. The noise and the sight of the fire would draw human sentries and other spectators to the battlements above him. Chang Squick could ill afford to have his grapnel line discovered. All it would take would be one human with a knife to slice the black rope, and his long and honourable career would come to an end. Controlling his urge to squirt the musk of fear, the Clan Eshin assassin pulled himself upward. The strange greenish light in the sky confirmed Felix's suspicions that the invasion had indeed begun. He recognised the colour of the flames as being the same as those produced by the strange weapons which had destroyed the College of Engineering. Looking back, he could see fire leaping from the rooftops of blazing tenements. The college had been a separate building, isolated behind the walls of its own grounds. The buildings here, in this part of the city, in contrast, were packed as tight together as drunks in a crowded tavern. Many of them leaned conspiratorially over alleyways. Some were linked by high bridges far above the ground and by supporting arches in the alleys. Most had thatched roofs and wooden support beams. Felix shivered in spite of himself. The conflagration was going to spread quickly. The city was going to burn. Still, at least for the moment, he seemed to have lost his pursuers. There was not a ratman in sight. Better yet, he recognised this street at last, and knew that he was not too far from the Blind Pig. He paused, leaning forward with his hands braced on his knees, panting for breath and shaking his head to clear the sweat from his eyes. Once he reached the tavern, he would be able to put together a plan with Gotrek and the others. Suddenly, from the mouth of a nearby alley, he heard a shrieked war cry. Looking up, he saw a large group of Skaven erupt out into the cobbled street. Gathering all his energy, Felix ran for his life. Greyseer Thankwell led his elite force of storm vermin into position. His keen Greyseer's intuition told him that directly above them was the palace. He could sense its presence. He trampled the corpse of the sewer watchman beneath his paw and allowed himself to gloat. So far, the Clan Eshin assassins had done their work. Every human in the sewers who might have given away their presence was dead. By now, teams of gutter runners would be in position at the base of the cliff on which the castle rested. Hopefully by now, Chang Squick would be in position. Thankwell produced the scrying stone from within his robes. He began to mutter the incantations which would link